KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear to partly cloudy skies. It's 51 degrees. We look for it to be sunny to partly sunny today, a high of 72. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, and Atlantic. Opponents of Governor Branstad's push to close the two state-run mental health institutes in southern Iowa delivered 2,500 petition signatures to the governor's office Thursday morning. Matt Sunovic is executive director of the Progress Iowa, a group that organized the online petition drive.
This happened over the last week or so, okay. So it's been a very quick quick turnaround for these centers. And we expect more to sign, but we saw that Governor Branstad was signing this proclamation today and thought this would be an appropriate time to make these voices heard.
Branstad held a brief midday ceremony to sign a Mental Health Month proclamation.
Frankly, the governor signing this proclamation is laughable. He's putting these policies in place that hurt Iowans, and now he's going to take a curtain call, pretending to be in favor of quality mental health care. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Sunovic says there is currently no plan in place to care for the acutely ill Iowans who depend on the state-run mental health institutes, or MHIs, for care they cannot get elsewhere at privately run facilities. Branstad says his critics just want to protect the status quo.
What we're doing in Iowa is really long overdue. Many other states have done it before.
Branstad's state budget plan, released in January, did not include any operating funds to keep the mental health institutes in Clarinda and Mount Pleasant open past June 30th. Legislators are still wrangling over budget details, but it's unlikely Branstad will accept any plan that keeps the two facilities open indefinitely. The police chief of Nebraska's largest city says an Omaha police officer killed in the line of duty was shot just above the top of her protective vest. Omaha Police Chief Todd Schmiders gave more detail Thursday of the shooting that killed 29-year-old officer Kerry Orozco on Wednesday. The chief says Orozco, a native of Walnut, and another officer had responded to a call for backup from officers who came under fire from the heavily armed suspect. Schmiderer says 26-year-old Marcus Wheeler fired on police, who tried to arrest him Wednesday afternoon. Orozco and another officer soon arrived and chased after Wheeler, who turned and fired on them, too. Orozco was hit and died at a local hospital. Wheeler was also shot and killed. Schmiderer says Orozco did not fire her gun. Omaha Mayor Gene Stoddard has ordered flags in the city to be lowered to half staff in honor of Officer Kerry Orozco. Stoddard says a flag should remain at half staff until dusk on Monday, Memorial Day. She said Thursday the move is a sign of respect for Orozco and her service to the city. The city also plans to turn lights on at the Heartland of America Foundation and on the Bob Kerry Pedestrian Blue Bridge. Colored blue, and that began Thursday night and will last through Memorial Day. Officer Orozco will be laid to rest on Tuesday. Visitation will be held Monday at St. John's Catholic Church at Creighton University in Omaha. Omaha police officers and close friends will be invited from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Friends and the public will be invited from 4 to 6 p.m. A vigil will follow at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, or rather on Monday, I should say, and the funeral will be held at 11 a.m. on Tuesday at St. John's Church. Additional seating will be provided at the CenturyLink Center with a large video screen feed. Burial will be at the St. Joseph Cemetery in Council Bluffs. The Nation of Valley Credit Union in Atlantic has set up an account to help the family of 29-year-old Kerry Orozco, a gang unit officer with the Omaha Metro Police Area Fugitive Task Force, who, as I mentioned, died on Wednesday in the line of duty. Orozco is the daughter of Ellen and the late Kevin Holtz of Walnut. She's a 2004 graduate of the Walnut High School. NVCU Chief Executive Officer Tim Marshak says that people can make donations to the account in a number of ways. They'll accept donations in person, by mail, or at the drive-thru. Donations may be made with personal messages, or they may be anonymous. All the proceeds will go toward the family. Kerry's mother, Ellen, is a longtime employee at the Nishna Valley Credit Union. In other news, police in Creston arrested 52-year-old Kirby Conkler of Creston Thursday afternoon. Conkler was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Union County warrant for domestic abuse, assault, impeding airflow, and false imprisonment. He was later released on $3,000 bond. A traffic stop Thursday evening in Villisca resulted in the driver of the vehicle being arrested for driving while revoked. Montgomery County Sheriff's Department reports 39-year-old Jason William McCollum of Villisca was pulled over at around 7:30 p.m. and following an investigation was taken into custody. McCollum was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on $1,000 bond. Police in Red Oak say a man from Pottawatomie County was arrested Thursday on a Red Oak PD warrant for burglary stemming from an incident that took place in September of 2013. 22-year-old Timothy Gene Humphrey of Council Bluffs is being held at a residential correctional facility in Council Bluffs. He was brought to the Montgomery County Jail and held on $5,000 cash bond. The Shelby County Sheriff's Office said yesterday a narcotics investigation tied to a traffic accident investigation had resulted in an arrest. 49-year-old Chadwick Sackow of Denison faces a felony possession of methamphetamine with the intent to deliver charge, and if convicted, he faces up to 10 years in prison. The charge stems from a hit-and-run accident that occurred around 6:30 a.m. Wednesday on Highway 59, where a car driven by Sackow crossed the center line of the road and collided with a Chevy Suburban driven by Efrain Chavez Mendoza of Denison. After his car hit the other vehicle, Sackow continued north on Highway 59, and when his car became disabled, attempted to flee on foot. Sackow was arrested a short time later and brought to the Shelby County Jail, where he was being held on $100,000 bond. Sackow and Chavez Mendoza were not injured in the collision, but a passenger in the Suburban, 21-year-old Andy Armando Casanova of Denison, suffered minor injuries and was treated at Murtu Memorial Hospital in Harlan. A woman who became distracted when a lid fell off her cup while driving ended up in an accident Thursday afternoon in Crawford County. The State Patrol reports 49-year-old Michelle Renee Ertz of Manila was injured when the 2006 Chevy Cobalt she was driving rear-ended a 2013 GMC Acadia SUV. Ertz, who was wearing her seatbelt, was transported by ambulance to the Crawford County Hospital for treatment of her injuries. The driver of the SUV, 36-year-old Sarah K. Gall of Erling, was not hurt. Officials say the accident happened around 4:15 p.m. on Highway 59 and Crestview Drive. The driver of a non-contact vehicle was waiting for traffic to clear so she could turn. Gall's SUV stopped behind the first vehicle. As Ertz was traveling south on Highway 59, she reached down to grab a drink lid and looked up to see the vehicle in front of hers had stopped. She slammed on the brakes but was unable to stop in time. Her car was disabled at the scene, while Gall managed to move her vehicle onto the shoulder of the road. No injuries were reported following a chain reaction crash Wednesday in Creston. Authorities say the accident happened at the intersection of Sumner and New York Avenue at around 11:30 a.m. when a pickup driven by 25-year-old Andy Gist of Creston came up too fast on two other vehicles waiting for the stoplight to change. Gist's 2005 Ford F-16 hit the rear of a 2003 Dodge Dakota pickup driven by Shania Weaselhead of Diagonal, which in turn struck a 2016 Chevy pickup driven by George Queck of Fontenelle as he was starting to pull away from the light when it turned green. Damage from the collisions amounted to $2,200. There were no citations issued. Our news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Give them a call at 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.